Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's poppin', y'all? PSA Hip Hop, man. Y'all know the vibes already, man. Watch what's good, my nigga. Peace. What's good, my G? Let's get right into these hip hop discussions, man. Obviously, the conversation for the last couple of days has been the Rick Ross 2 Chainz conversation. Pardon self, there was not a recap on my behalf or Watt's behalf. I can't speak for Watt, so I'll let him get into that in a minute. But for me, I was, and you know the wild thing, Watt, you had asked me the night before, am I going to watch it? And I was like, yeah. But for some reason, bro, I kept thinking it was August 8th. I don't know why I kept thinking that. I had that date in my mind. And then somebody had hit me on Twitter, like, oh, three, you watching this? And I'm like, damn. So by the time I go on the gram to watch Ross and Chainz, they're into like fifth round already. So I didn't catch the first five. But from what the people were saying, like all the tweets I saw was Ross was getting that 2 Chainz and everything like that. What did you feel about the battle? I don't know if you got to watch a little bit of it. You know, Chainz bringing out the strippers. Obviously, they were in the same building. So that's, I think that's the thing moving forward is getting guys, and you and I talk about this ad nauseum, about having guys in the same building doing this since Beanie Man and Bounty Killer kind of set the precedent for this. Jada Kiss, da da da, and moving forward, Erykah Badu and Jill Scott were in the same building. But yeah, Ross having a chick massaging him. Talk to me, Watts, man. Did you like Ross getting a massage down, a rub down during the battle?
This battle, I had no interest in this battle. I had none whatsoever. I'm not someone who is a fan of their catalog. I'm very aware of it. I know the impact of Ross since every day I'm hustling. I've known about Ross since 2000 when every single Ross fan didn't know that his name was Teflon Don and he was on Eric Sermon's Eric Onassis album. I also know that too. So I've always been aware and have known about Rick Ross. I'm just not a fan of Rick Ross's fake life or his music. And 2 Chainz music was popular when he recreated himself from Titty Boy to 2 Chainz, but this battle did nothing for my hip-hop soul. When I say nothing, absolutely nothing.
There goes the recap. There goes the recap. Well, damn, my dude. Jesus Christ. I would say this. I got into watching it, and I felt Ross left a lot of songs that he didn't put out there, man. And now I understand the reason why he didn't put out a lot of certain songs that he didn't put out, because I saw a lot of people saying, oh, Ross, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And I think the reason he didn't do that, I felt Ross felt that 2 Chainz can do nothing with him. Regardless if people were saying, oh, 2 Chainz got verses, da da da. I felt Ross, in heart of hearts, felt that Chainz had nothing for him. And now Ross saying he has another fresh 20 pack. So he's the first guy who watches his verses that says that he wants to come back in and he wants more smoke. What do we think about Ross saying that, hey, I got a fresh 20, and I still want to come back?
Well, there you have it. You got an open invitation, T.I. or Jeezy. You got an open invitation for Ross.
Mm-hmm. Who would you rather see, Clifford or Jeezy?
Clifford.
You breaking up, bro.
I'm going to put out 2 Ross claims he had a 20 pack. Ross is not going to do it again. Like, that's braggadocious stuff. He performed a lot of songs.
Ross has 20 more drinks, though. Why is he bugging? He does.
Ross does not have 20 joints if T.I. has a fresh 20 to start with. Ross played some of his classic music. When I looked at the set list, he played some of his classic songs. You know, he played his Drake features, his Kanye West features. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to leave all that on the table for fresh money? Listen, dogs, to be honest, I don't care about these guys. I can't even. Like, this is something that makes me happy, discussing Ross's discography. That doesn't get me lit at all.
Yo, have some respect for myself, brothers, man. I'm not going to let you get that off, man. I rock for Ross heavy, man. I respect Chainz, but I'm a Ross guy. You know that already. I rock a Ross. You know what I'm saying? And a somber note. I hate to go here, going from there to this, but last couple of days, obviously, we heard about the passing of FBG Duck, Chicago native, 27 years of age, Watts. gunned down downtown Chicago at a hot shopping resort, so to speak, in Chicago. Was gunned down at 27. Reports now is that he was trying to fight for his life at the hospital, and I guess he died during surgery and everything like this. And, you know, you live in right now, Ever Watts, where as an OG yourself, the Young Boys, the Pop Smoke, the Sosa Geeks, the drill music has touched New York City heavy. This is what the Young Boys are rocking out to. R.I.P. KJ Baller, Pop Smoke, Nick Blicky, and things. But a lot of gun violence, we're surpassing a lot of young people, Watts, at our age. Talk to me, man.
Well, one of the things about hip hop that the era that we come from, 80s, 90s, is that gun violence has always been a part of in black communities, right? And the hip hop art form and the hip hop culture, when stuff like this was happening, we actually had rappers who wanted to address it. For example, when Scott La Rock was killed, KRS did the Stop the Violence movement, and he actually did a song called Stop the Violence, one of his biggest songs.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got all the best rappers together, and they did Self Destruction.
Legendary.
Then you had the World movement. At some point, I would want hip-hop to acknowledge what's going on and say, brothers, we need to stop this. We need to stop killing each other. It would be great to see if the top rappers came together like they did back in the days and said, stop killing each other. It's selfless.
They're all doing that, though.
And I hate it, man. And I hate it. These are tragedies, man. These are young brothers just being gunned down. It's just tragic, man. And I hate it. It hurts hip hop. Hip hop suffers because of it.
Well, let me ask you, let's go here for a second. What we think about when these, especially I see this happening a lot in Chicago and in New York City, heavy. It's probably happening in a lot of other cities, but I'm just pinpointing Chicago and New York from what I've seen, guys, listeners, right? Especially in Chicago, right? RIP to my man, Zach TV. I'm always say that, man. When a Chicago brother dies, like FBG Duck, right? The ops, let's use the word the ops, that these young boys like using the word ops, Watts. You start seeing they smoking on packs. That conversation is the no love, is it that deep? Because you have beef with a nigga that from a certain area that they pass away and then y'all don't care at all. I think that's the part that bothers me the
most.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Niggas
yes,
die.
That's the one thing I've noticed.
That, you know what I mean?
That's the one thing I've noticed, that these guys have no remorse. They just don't feel anything for the deaths of their quote unquote opposition. And it's tragic because when you feel that way, that's why it's so easy for them to take these guys' lives, shoot these guys and feel nothing. Even though they see an outpouring and they see how it affected it, how they're looking at it on TV and they see that it is a big deal. But to them, it means nothing, and that's tragic, man.
That's scary. When I'm seeing kids, like I saw, all right, recently, right, there was a brother from Chicago, right, and I put it on the channel, and there's something that he said that stood out, Watts. He said that they lost 7 kids in a 3-week span from shootouts, shooting innocent babies outside and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you hear shit like that, my nigga, that's like some old, like, y'all are really shooting babies out here, not having no care about nothing. They're up there shooting. I see somebody saying FBG Duck's funeral should be a private service, watch, because they feel people are going to go out there trying to get more people. Think about that for a second, brother.
I listen, man, and sometimes it just seems like when you're a product of your environment, sometimes you don't know when enough is enough or when to leave. So I'm ignorant of the brother who just passed away. I don't know his story. But if he had financial means to somehow get out of his environment, I would just wonder why he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I always think about stuff like that. Like, Was he trapped in his environment? Did he not? Or
no?
You know,
I'm gonna say this because I'm familiar with this brother's work because of, once again, I gotta say Zach TV. No, it was no goddamn DJ Academics. It was Zach TV, and I interviewed Zach TV on his channel. It's on here. That brother was the one outside. He's the reason why I subscribed to his channel, because I'm not gonna lie to you, watch. Maybe I'm guilty on this part also as a hip hop guy, because here I am watching a brother like Zach go from hood to hood, talking to different oppositions, the word you just used a second ago, right? And was I fascinated by it? I was, in a very effed up way. It was just wild to see these brothers just wild out. And it feels like we glorify the wild out until somebody passes away, and then now we do RIP shows, RIP shirts, coulda, shoulda, woulda, get out the hood, stop the violence talk. And I would say this, why do rappers feel they have to stay in their hood? Like, we glorify, okay, we're able to go back on our block. But that's the glorification, okay, we're able to go back on our block, even though we're so removed from that neighborhood, but we hear a lot of rappers say they feel comfortable there. Why is that? Isn't that the fight to get out the hood? What 50 Cent said, F the hood, watch. Remember that? Of course you remember that. A lot of people were mad at 50 when he said F the hood. I wasn't, because I know what he meant when he said that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I don't know why, you know what I mean? So I don't know why Duck, you didn't want to, leave the hood and everything, though, man. But it's very sad and unfortunate that we're losing young brothers to violence and everything. Now, I guess the question I have for you and the discussion I want to have is, whereas people that love hardcore lyrics, hardcore bars, shoot 'em up, bang, 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 in the music, where do we separate that compared to, you know what I'm saying, everyday life? Because everybody says, oh, you should live your raps. So a lot of people say they admire the person that lived the raps, but when the person lived the raps, we're ridiculing them. Where's the balance? And you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I separate it. I can look at hip-hop as a form of entertainment. For example, like if I go to the movies and I see one of my favorite actors and he's just shooting up people, I can say that it's a form of entertainment that's not real. The thing about hip-hop is it's a thing about authenticity. So if you really real, you rap what you live about, you outside. So I think what makes rappers like 50 Cent, Conway, DMX, why people gravitate to them, because they really rapped real life stuff. I think why people like Benny, because the life Benny lived, he's rapping about it. So it's a real story. So people love authenticity. Now, the fine line is, but is the authenticity that you live, is it positive to the community? Is it? That life you lived of selling drugs, shooting at the ops, shooting people, all of this stuff, does it have a positive effect? And that's where you have to, reassess how you view or listen to music. Me, I personally love the realism, the authenticity. My favorite rappers are the ones who actually lived it. Biggie, one of Biggie's lines is, niggas talking it but ain't living it. I gravitate to the people who lived it. I love that. But there are people who didn't live that life, and they rap about just life itself, and I love that too. So it's a fine line, man. You just got to – it's just – where do you draw the line at? Like, for example, everybody get together. Let's preach – stop the violence. Let's get everybody together. When Biggie and Pac got killed, Farrakhan brought all the rappers together, and he's the one that squashed the beef with Ice Cube and Common. And it was still tension there. Fat Joe tells that story. But somebody got to come together in these communities and be like, brothers, y'all gotta stop this, man. Like,
they are, though, but I think you don't think. Hold on, watch. You don't think people are doing that, though?
I think high platform people need to do it. KRS was in his prime when he did it.
You and I always talk about doing it. You and I always talk about the young boys, right? When it comes to music, they're not gonna listen to Jay-Z and Nas. That's not the influences of music, right? I don't think a lot of the young boys care about OGs and all that, my nigga. They don't care about that. A lot of them, I don't think
you're right,
cares about. They're trying to get it right now. They're in a get it right now type of mentality. The money's out here, social media, all this shit, man. Social media has really, Instagram live. These brothers be going IG live, be talking real reckless. What they going to do? And you know retaliation is going to come back because all these brothers love Duck, right? So here's the conversation with brothers are going to have in Chicago now. Watch. Oh, y'all going to let them do that to Duck and y'all ain't going to get no get back. And niggas hear that and they feel they have to get back for Duck, right? And the only way they can get back for him is got to be getting back at somebody else. Not even the person that did it, or they don't know who did it, but just the people that were surrounded, or the ops, or the people that have issues with. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then you see Little Dirk, what's the other brother? King Von, all these brothers, Lil Reese, they on Instagram right after Duck's passing, and they had Duck had issues with them, and they on Instagram smirking a little bit. What's the other brother? Nemo 600, he's cracking jokes, talking about smoke on a duck pack. Like, that shit, 600 Breezy, you got a song talking about the last, I like the song when T-Shotty getting that duck, and it's like, dogs, what the hell is that, man? That is crazy to me. That is real crazy to me, man. You know what I mean? So, I got to watch Duck's moms talk about losing her kids, her sons back to back. Like, fam, this woman got to bury, she had to bury her kids, my dude. To bury her children? That's the gun violence? Dogs. Wow, man. Watch, I want to go here right quick, man. Method Man and Conway the Machine have linked up for a song called Lemon. What's your take on that, man? The new Conway the Machine joint he dropped 2 days ago. I'm not sure quick, man.
I love when Conway dropped these hidden gems of his. They appeal to my old head, old school soul. You're working with someone who I consider a Mount Rushmore rapper and Method Man, an iconic living legend. You released a song earlier with Havoc, and that's another guy I consider a one of the legendary, pioneer, iconic contributors to hip-hop. And Conway, when you link up with the 90s icons, you put out some amazing, amazing hip-hop, man. And I just want to say that, because it's damn sure not appealing to the youth, but it's appealing to me, an old head.
So are you saying that you're going to like this song more than the 2 Chainz songs and Rick Ross and Lil Wayne? Is that what you're saying?
Without doubt, without question, there's no doubt in my mind.
You didn't hear the song yet, though, like, sir. You didn't hear the song yet with Wayne and Ross and 2 Chainz. And make that call, though, sir.
Yeah, I can't make that call, my guy. Those guys don't do it for me, man. You got to be into MCs, man, to get open. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. I'm glad Conway and Method Man linked up, man. I'm actually happy. You know what I'm saying? This is only the first Wu member that they linked up with. Especially when their style of music and things they talk about, you know, Raekwon, my bad. They did work with Ray first. Pulling this up. I cannot just throw that out there because Ray, I felt, has embraced them. But you know what I'm saying? He really embraced those guys before anybody, you know, Wu and everything. But it's good to see Conway and T'Cal link up and stuff like that, man. You know what I mean? Like, the song is actually dope. Method Man's verse is actually dope. I thought Method spit a fire verse, man. You know what I'm saying? I am not going to hold you at all, man. You know what I mean? A lot of talk also, Watts, is about Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B dropped a song called, is it WAP? Am I pronouncing it WAP? Not to be confused with the WAP song that you and I did in the 80s, the WAP dance. But a lot of conversation about the song is too raunchy, X, Y, and Z. They kind of went extra with it. Cardi talking about certain things that, you know, some people had issues with. I didn't have an issue with it, man. I have no problem with girls going into the raunchy bag. I really don't. I'm West Indian. I've seen Lady Saw in New York City throw a pum pum in somebody's face in 94. So it's like, come on, man. Am I really going to go crazy over the stuff these girls say when I'm listening to Conway and these guys and Benny and them talking about whipping it up and Jeezy and them whipping up drugs and everything? What's your take on that, brother?
It really goes to show you how many people don't have a historical outlook on hip hop. I mean, this is a regular song, but because of the popularity of hip hop now, they amplify everything as if they've never seen it before. I mean, you guys never heard Jackie O? I never heard Little
right.
Kim. Like, what are we doing here? Like, raunchy, there's been raunchy hip hop, raunchy lyrics like this before. You know,
right.
So it's just, and then the people talking about it, man, from dudes to women, it's like dogs. Y'all act like y'all never heard raunchy, explicit hip hop before. You know what I'm saying? Like this video was just too much for you. Like y'all didn't see Tip Drill. It's just the way people talk about hip hop now, being that hip hop is the number one genre of music, you can just tell how many people just don't know what they're talking about, or they have no foundation of hip hop.
Yeah, why is that though? Why are people going there with the song? I don't even think it's that. I think it's all right. I thought it was an all right song. I have no problem with females going in that bag, Watts. I don't know about you. I have zero problems with that, bro.
Not only do I have zero problems, I'm watching Dr. Boyce Watkins talk about, oh, this is whole culture. This is not good for black people. I'm watching.
What's the other brother named Tommy? Tommy Masoto? You know he's going to go in that bag also. You know he's going to go in that bag. He really
then you got
all the time.
Then I see a lot of prominent bloggers, prominent people who have strong hip hop following saying, "I wish women didn't talk about this. Why they rapping about this kind of hoeing and whoring and all this kind of stuff?" And I'm like, "Hold up, dogs! Shay Noy just dropped an album out that none of y'all talked about." Y'all act
That's
like y'all never heard it. Y'all Eurosceptic. And then y'all going to get mad at a single when Shay Noy put out two albums this year. And this what y'all worried about? One single? Come on, man.
Y'all talking about this? Y'all getting mad at that. I've been asking for a Shay Noy Rap City joint for the last 2 years. I've been asking for that. You know what I'm saying? So, listen, man. It's other people that rap. I have no problem with Megan. And the song at all, man. I like it. I like the raunchiness. I'm guilty. How can I get as females going
guilty
in that bag?
Guilty of what? It's a regular raunchy song.
And let's be real. Let's be real. Cardi's talking about Offset in her verse, her husband. That's what she's talking about at the end of the day. That's her dude. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's like, act like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I have zero issues with the song. Like you said, I mean, I'm from the Little Kim. I'll go back to Millie Jackson. How about that? Can we show Millie Jackson?
You can go back to Millie Jackson. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look at what they're going to
do. She's cursing. Look at the words she's using. This is inappropriate for my kid. Give me a break. Imagine
now,
my hip hop, when we talk about hip hop through Raunchy, and Too Short was making songs, and Too Live Crew had all these girls twerking it out. Like, are you serious right now?
Serious hip hop
had Indian girl.
Act like this Slick Rick made Indian girl, my nigga. You feel me? Indian girl. Like,
man.
We were fighting Indian girl. I Slick Rick. I'm sorry, man. I have problems. I think I'm not with the double standard stuff. You know what I mean? It's not about trying to.
You know, man, it's hypocrisy. It's a double standard. And everybody in hip hop who's talking about this song in a negative way, y'all are playing yourself and y'all are embarrassing yourselves. Y'all are literally embarrassing yourselves.
Maul from the Joe Budden podcast. You are my guy. I rock with you.
Guess what? I can listen to Lil Kim and go straight to Bahamadia. In a second.
Facts.
In a heartbeat.
Facts.
And I wouldn't feel
Facts.
No kind of way.
Facts.
So this talk about
Lauren
this
Foxy.
Song is too much. I shouldn't be doing it. Come on, man.
I have zero.
Come on, man.
Have
some perspective or something.
Yeah, I don't have. I think it's a double standard. It's not cool. You know what I'm saying? This is. I like this song a lot, man. That song is. Dog, that was going to be. That song. I'm not saying it's a summer anthem. Well, for the ladies, would it shock you at all? For the ladies, this is a summer anthem for the ladies.
Dog, there's nothing wrong with the song. And if it's a summer anthem, it's a summer anthem. Like,
Facts.
Come on. I'm in other people's party. Jesus
Hold
Christ.
More from the Joe Budden podcast. You are my guy. But You know, I'm listening to the podcast this morning, and Maul, you were the only one out the crew that sounded like you had real issues with the song compared to Joe, Rory, and Parks. You know, Maul, usually I agree with some of the sentiments that you have, but I totally disagree with you on this one, brother. Like, I have no problems with this joint at all. I just really don't. I'm from the reggae era, man. Like, winding up on girls and shit. Like, come on, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? We on Labor Day, Eastern Parkway. You know?
Oh, Mo, you would hate Labor Day on Eastern Parkway, man. You wouldn't like it, man. There's a lot of grinding. There's a lot of ass shaking, man. You know, and you know, I don't know if you want to see that kind of stuff, man. If that video, if them shaking their ass really upset you, man, please leave Eastern Parkway alone, man, on Labor Day. Just leave it alone.
or Trinidad in February. The carnival in Trinidad in February is crazy. Dogs, I've been in Trinidad for carnival in February years ago. It gets crazy. Like, that don't even make no sense. Girls, wine out, skin out. What? Skin out business, yo. Come on, man. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I don't know what that's about, man. That's kind of like, you know, I don't know, man. Do you want to tell the people what you told me about Hell-Rel? That you had Hell-Rel, Beanie Siegel, and Styles P sit at the table with the hardest dudes out?
Yeah, mid-2000s when Cam'ron had Hell-Rel do that verse on Diplomatic Immunity from jail. Remember when he called up and said that verse from jail?
Yes.
It's like, yo, this dude right here is for real. And ever since then, I have bought every single album or mixtape Hell-Rel has ever dropped. I'm one of Hell-Rel's biggest fans. And I felt in that era, the 03, 04, 05, 06, that era, Hell-Rel was the hardest out. I thought he spit the most hardcore voice lyrics. Hell-Rel and Uncle Murder. Hell-Rel, Uncle Murder, to me, spit the most rawest, hardcore, street, gutter, grimy lyrics between 03, 04, 05, 06, 07.
I'm not mad at that. I would rank Murder over Hell-Rel, right? That song that Hell-Rel had with Dame Grease beat, the Dame Grease, that shit was hard. I'm not going to front, though. You know what I'm saying? That was hard when he had the bullets in his mouth and all that, that mixtape, whatever, was hard. But let's be real. Styles P did feel some type of way about him saying that, though. You would agree with that, right? I feel some type of way about
him
saying that. Because Styles P was already the hardest
throughout. Styles P was all,
you know what I mean?
Styles P always gutter hardcore hip-hop. And during that era, Styles P and Dragons spit maybe the hardest song of the decade. So
Respect My Gangster.
One of the hardest songs of in hip hop history.
Wow, you went in that bag. Wow.
Yeah, in hip hop history. In hip hop history. Respect My Gangster, Styles P, Drag On.
Woo, this nigga said hip hop history. Wowzers.
Yeah.
I like Hell-Rel, man, but something didn't. I don't know what happened, man. Something happened where it just. I don't know if it was the breakup of Dipset, even though that shouldn't have been a problem with still making music.
You should have. Listen, sometimes breakups ruin stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dipset breaking up affected a lot of people. It affected J.R. Ryder. It affected Hell-Rel. It affected everybody. Everybody got affected by that.
40 Cal, Shice Bub, Mkasa. Where do we rank Dipset in the groups of New York City history?
One of the most successful, most impactful. They had a movement behind them.
They had some off-branch Dipset niggas that some was okay, some was Like, for you like A-Mafia, which I tell you all the time, it shocks me that you like that nigga like A-Mafia. I hated that nigga's flow with a passion. I did not like A-Mafia at all, my dude. Did you have A-Mafia over 40 Cal?
Over 40 Cal? In terms of making music?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely, okay. Yes.
The Ted DiBiase and Who Killed Cameron.
Forty Cal has mixtapes with Hell Val. I have that mixtape. They did a mixtape together. So I'm a fan of 40 Cal. But that whole Dipset movement, I rock with the hard body. A Mafia, there was a DVD called Hip Hop DVD that used to come out. And I remember A Mafia did a freestyle on there. Ever since I saw that freestyle, this was in 04, I used to get everything he put on the streets, every mixtape.
Yo, that's a curveball, nigga, that you like, man. I would never think you would rock out to A. You don't like J.
When
Cole,
you say that,
but you like A Mafia. That's
when you say that, it's like, well, who didn't know him? A Mafia got songs with Styles P. He got songs with Uncle Murda. When Cam left Dipset and reinvented himself and just came back with a new crew, when he had Prospect Pens, he brought A Mafia with him.
Like,
A Mafia.
Time out. Yo, time out. I did love that Cameron mixtape, The Public Enemy, with Pens and Tom Kiss. Yo, I did
and
like
A
that
Mafia.
Mixtape. Yeah.
Wait. A Mafia.
But he
and
wasn't
A
on
Mafia.
It as hard body. He wasn't on his hard body as Pens and Tom Kiss, though, B.
He was on there, man. He was on. He's the hardest joints he was on. No, we're not. Pens is better than A Mafia and Tom Kiss.
Look, come on. Yo, dog, stop. Dog, come on, man. We're having a serious discussion here, man. Don't do that. Please.
Mafia twice on Sunday.
All right.
Sunday, my G.
All right, B. Like, you
Mafia.
The conversation not serious, man.
Okay, so go ahead. So tell me about Poison Pen, Prospect Pens. Give me the albums I should get from the Bronx. Tell me his mixtapes on the streets that I need to look out for.
No, I just specifically liked him on Cam's Public
my point is, Cam, my point is, A Mafia was people rocked with him. Like, come on, he was on that Cam, went and got him. Uncle Murda rocks with him. When he reaches up, when he asks people to collaborate.
I remember this song before Cameron. I remember that at Ted DiBiase joints. I remember them joints when he's in the chicken store videos.
One,
I remember that shit.
That's one of hundreds. Like, you're talking about two songs.
Well, sorry, sir. I'm not gonna sit here and just run off all his songs like that. It's not like he was that ill.
No,
but not like he was that crazy. He's not Stack Busters or no shit like that.
He got a song called 1,000. Like, if you into A Mafia, like I was,
you would know, man. And I was big into A Mafia.
That's why I was doing that.
Do I like A Mafia more than I like J. Cole? Absolutely. Yes.
You're crazy.
I
love you, my nigga.
Go listen to 1985.
Dog, I love you like cook food,
If you ask me, will I listen to the Public Enemy mixtape? Will I listen to A Mafia rapping with my deuce in the 2000s more than J. Cole? Yeah, in a heartbeat, man.
Over the Friday Night Lights mixtape? Over the Friday Night Lights mixtape?
100,000. Get out of here with that, man. What are you talking about, man? Like, you
this
really
is crazy.
About Cole. Like, yo, my man, Cole is just ill lyrical, dude. You walling, dog. How could you not listen to Cole? Man, come on, man. I will fist for that shit like it's Bobby Digital's album, man.
Hold on. You didn't like the warm up by Cole? The warm up is classic. The warm up is so. The intro on the wall, oh my God,
son.
Can I live, drink? God, this nigga's crazy. The dream song, the welcome song. Yo, Cole was.
Yo, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I hate to be the dead horse, but I'm very shocked you don't like Cole. If they said, do you think Watson likes Cole or A Mafia more? I would say you like Cole more. I would just think that.
Well, obviously you know that can never be true.
I agree. It can never be true, though. But I'm just saying, though, man. I'm just saying.
Yo, A Mafia got a song called Lord of the Street, one of the raw songs. Comment Boys, you can look it up on YouTube. It's the Lord of the Street, just one verse. Man, does he break it down. I'm the Lord of the Street. Come on, man. Yo.
Let me ask you a question.
A Mafia is my guy,
man. Do you have A Mafia over Stack Bundles?
Yes.
No. That hurt. You have A Mafia with Stack Bundles?
Yeah, I do.
Stack bundles.
I'm basically. Come on. Let me ask you something. What do you want me to say about stack bundles?
Don't do that. You know what? We're not going there.
No, change subject.
Don't go there.
I don't want to talk. What do you want? Tell me what you want me to say.
You want me to say I had him on the same level as
Papoose and Saigon and Graf? Is that what you want me to say?
I did.
I had him with Papoose. Well, he wasn't with him.
Yes, he was. You got him with Papoose. Over stack bundles? You had a mafia,
yeah,
dog. You're bugging.
And let me tell you something real quick. I love Saigon, but he had more music than stack bundles. I like stack bundles freestyles and his mixtapes way more than this nigga Saigon. That's a fact, and I love Saigon.
And let me say this. There's no way I can believe that. I just can't. Even you saying it, you can tell me that in my face.
Dogs.
And I will say,
dogs.
No,
I'm a stack bundles guy, man.
I can stop better than purple. No way I will believe that. Let me tell you how real it is.
I wanted Stack and Max B to do albums together. I just wanted Stack and Max B. That's what I wanted. Like, those two niggas to work together so bad. I was on that type of time. Were you a Max B guy?
No.
Were you a Bigger Bell? Wait a minute. You like A-Mafia more than Max B? You like A-Mafia more than Max B?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. This dude is 3 for 3 when hurting my hip-hop. Oh, you like A-Mafia more than Bigger Val?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Silver Surfer?
Absolutely.
She touched it in Miami. So Max B.
No, man, come on, man. You need to stop it, man. You talking to the wrong person, man. I like dudes who rap and rhyme. A-Mafia, man.
Wait. Hey, Mom, you like dudes that can what?
That can rap.
I hate A Mafia's flow with a passion. I hate his flow with all.
I can't believe you got to talk about A Mafia, man.
I mean, where else are you going to get A Mafia talk? Do you even still do music? Do you even still do music, man?
Absolutely,
Red
Justin. I have his last album.
Hellbell put out a mixtape this year.
I got it. I play it. I love it. Like,
what's it called?
Guys, I like
what's it called?
I stay true to them.
What's it called? Come on, let's do it. What's it called?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Because that shit ain't about nothing. That's why you don't know. You listen to that shit and was like,
nah,
I'm
saying that about
nothing.
It's on my playlist.
No, my
let me show you something.
This is how hip hop works. You cop something because you like the artist, and when you get it, it might not be popping. It's like, bye. Peace out.
Am I listening to this?
I'm Gucci.
You like A Mafia more than J. Cole. Dogs. Let me ask you this, Watts. We're almost here. We're in August of 2020. Off freestyle off the top of your head, what are your favorite albums right now? And what are you playing right now, Hard Body, in 2020?
Eminem's album, Music to be Murdered By, has never left my rotation since January, since it came out. I feel that he's displayed still the best amount of rapping. I feel that Eminem does something that no other all-time great rapper is judged on, that he still proves he actually raps better than everybody. You know how Black Thought still raps better than everybody? Eminem still raps better than everybody. This album just means everything to me because I think it's rapping 101. He's rapping.
Really?
By the way, he's not rapping too fast for me. He might be rapping too fast for you, and you may not like that he's rapping so fast, and that might be too much for
you
to hear.
Who is you? Who is you? Who is you?
I'm just talking to people in general. I'm talking to people in general. People in general, they may think that he's rapping too fast. He may need to slow it down. Doesn't have to slow down anything. He's raps with clarity. He out-rapped people who are the best rappers in hip-hop, in my opinion. Black Thought, Royce da 5'9" on every single song. Young M.A., who's my favorite rapper under 30. So
I love Young M.A.'s verse.
That album I'm playing.
Graf's Oracle 3 is still in heavy rotation. I love it. I think it's just
okay.
Love Oracle 3.
Hey, can I piggyback on that? Can I piggyback on your Graf comment? I like Graf's project more than Eminem's project. I like Oracle more than Eminem's project.
Okay. So
I like the features.
Also,
I like the shit Graf is saying more.
I like David Styles. I like Styles' album a lot. That album means a lot to me. I like the two EPs that Ransom put out that I put together. Those stay
Director's
in rotation. It's in rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Director's Cut 1 and 2 stay in
mm-hmm.
rotation. It's just complete rapping to me. I like the R.J. Payne project, If Cocaine Could Talk 6. I really like that project. I play that project
mm-hmm.
Hard Body.
Dope project.
Yeah. So those are the ones. Those are my standouts. Conway put out two EPs. He put out the one with he put Lula out, which we've reviewed, and he put out one with Big Ghost LT. I like those. I don't know if they're gonna make the top 10 because there's so much heat that's coming out. Benny basically said he's gonna drop some heat towards the end of this year. Conway's about to drop heat. There's a lot of Director's Cut 3 comes out next week, which I'm gonna have, which might put Ransom at the number one position once he puts Director Cut 3 out. So that's a lot of work. But so far so good for 2020. Special. By the way, I'm playing Special nonstop. I haven't stopped playing Special's EP since it came out last week.
I like what I'm listening to right now. I'm still rocking the Special. Love Shane Noah. Shout out to Shane Noah for the plug. Throw my brother Wild Till 94 joint. I love Shane Noah. I think Shane Noah has one of the dopest projects this year. I'm in my head off the rip, is a top five album in 2020 for me. That's not even a shadow of a doubt. I think the question for me, when you and I have this conversation in December of 2020, will I have Shane Noah in top three or top five? That's going to be the conversation for me, right? Still rocking out to my man Sue Surf's project. Freddie Gibbs, obviously. I love Freddie Gibbs' project a lot with Alchemist, Alfredo project. Shout out to Twitter again, man, because sometimes they'll put you on to music that, you know, sometimes you might miss. You didn't get to do the full knowledge on it. I'm really into this Store of God guy, man. I rock with Store of God, Aaron Cook's Hard Body, man. That Reasonable Doubt project is tough. I had John Sark's joint. That's like one of my favorite songs this year. West Side Gun, I do like this project you had more than the last two projects you dropped, RG. I'm not going to lie to you. Fly God is an Awesome God, part one. I didn't like this as much as I like this project. And who else am I missing? Ransom, obviously. Royce the 5'9", I thought was a dope project also. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. Still love every project you said. Ransom, of course, was dope. You know? Yeah, man. I'm actually looking forward to Benny, man, to see what Benny got to do. And I want Special to give me another project before the year is out, man. I definitely want to hear my dude. And I'm looking forward to Method Man and Havoc. I'm actually looking forward to that a lot, Watts. I can't wait to hear that. Method Havoc.
I cannot wait to review it. I can't wait to review it.
I guarantee the conversation you and I are going to have is we're going to want rappers to work lockdown with Hav. I'm already saying I want Conway and Hav to lock in. I'm already saying that. I've been saying this for a while now, for like a couple of weeks now. And I like Flea Lord's P Rock project a lot. Let me plug this guy. Yo, Flea Lord, I like your project a lot, fam. And like I said before, last week on the show, I like Benny's Gangsta Grills mixtape, man.
Oh,
like
how can I forget? Let me just be clear. I can't forget Hard with Joel Ortiz and Crooked Eye.
Yes, Crooked Eye.
Much rotation from me, so I can't act like I don't play that on a regular, and I do. And another album I play is Young M.A.'s EP. That gets a lot of play with me because, you know, Young M.A. is ill with it, dead nice with it.
I didn't like her last project.
Her last project is the one I'm talking about.
The one that we reviewed?
The EP that came out this year.
Yeah, I didn't like it too much. We did review that. I didn't like it too much. No. I didn't really rock to it too tough. You know? I want to hear from Meek. I want to hear from Sky Zoo. I think Sky Zoo had a project I need to do the knowledge to more. That's shame on me about that, though. But I'm really looking forward to Meth and Half and Stab and Shot 1 and 2, though. I'm not going to hold you, man. I'm not going to hold you. You had made a comment to me off air about somebody. You had a conversation with somebody about EPMD that they said it wasn't popping in the 90s.
Yeah. It's frustrating, man, because
that's crazy.
I answered a Twitter. A guy on Twitter asked a question. You know, you got these hip hop guys, and they said, "Who are your top five producers?" And I named five producers, and one of them wasn't Dr. Dre, and one of them was Eric Sermon. So I was attacked for, why do I have Eric Sermon? I said, "What do you mean? Why do I have Eric Sermon?" And when I explained why I had Eric Sermon, the pushback was, they have none. He ain't produced nothing great in the 90s. EPMD peaked in the 80s. And I was like, what does that got to do with Eric Sermon's production? Like, if he was he's a top five producer to me. So I really realized that Eric Sermon, guys like Eric Sermon and Havoc, are just never going to get the props they deserve in terms of production. And it's just tragic, man. It's like we're in hip-hop. Hip-hop is a major space, but it's like the great people in hip-hop just are not getting their due. It's like people, the lazy thing in hip-hop is, oh, Dre's greatest producer, that's it. If you don't say him, it don't count. Well, I said Eric Sermon. I said Havoc. I said Pete Rock. I said Premier. And I named who was the fifth one?
PR?
It was somebody who was really impactful, but
PR?
It's like people got upset if I don't have Dre. Well, I don't have to have Dre. Like, let me tell you two things that I don't have to have. Jay-Z does not have to be the greatest rapper of all time to me.
Oh,
and
God,
Dr. Dre doesn't have to be
greatest.
No, I'm trying
there
to make
go,
a Jay-Z point slander. To you. I'm trying to make a point to you. Jay-Z does not have to be my number one rapper of all time. Dr. Dre does not have to be my greatest producer of all time. So when I tell people that, don't be like, how could you say that? I could say that with ease. I could say that effortlessly, and I can prove it. Like, what are we doing here? This is where hip-hop gets lazy. People just want to say the easy stuff to make it seem like you know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking
what
about.
What?
I know what
they're
talking about.
Their favorite rappers are Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas? What, their favorite rappers are Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas? That's lazy.
when they go Biggie, Jay-Z,
that lazy bars.
Now the new thing is, you throw Andre 3000 in there, you throw Scarface in there, because now that the South is with him, so now you say Andre 3000, Scarface, Pac, Jay-Z. Like it's just, to me, it's lazy, because it's like there's so many people in hip-hop.
Let's stay right there in the lazy bag for a second. Let's stay with the lazy word you said. You know what's lazy than me or what bothers me about hip-hop? Is when dudes try to put Andre 3000 high, and they'll have Andre 3000 at number 5 and have Big Boy at, like, number 36. Like, I don't understand why the margin is so wide between Big Boy and 3 Stacks. I never understood that. I don't get that. Like, they try to make it sound like 3 Stacks is way better than Big Boy, and I totally disagree with that. Totally disagree with that.
And let me tell you another thing, Andre 3000 gets that nobody else gets. Everybody treats him like he's a solo artist when they do their top 10 lists and their top 10.
Facts.
But no
facts.
Other artists from groups get treated like that, the way he gets treated.
That's a fact.
The way he gets singled out. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I'm like, wow, this is some weird stuff. That's why, to me, just hip-hop, that's why I'm glad me and you got a space where we could just talk about it, because, you know, I remember off-air, we was talking about how much we love the Alcoholics, how much we love J-Ro and Tash as MC.
Facts.
Like,
facts.
People are going to freak out when I say, but I played the Alcoholics as a group more than I played Outkast. Now, to everybody else, what are you saying? Outkast, they won Grammys. They won this. They won that. I'm telling you guys, I listened and played the Alcoholics way, way more than I played Outkast music. That's just the reality of what I was listening to in the 90s. But you'll never hear that conversation. You'll never hear people talk about J-Ro or Tash. You never had a conversation.
Tash. Well, people are going to hit us with the alcoholics because if you didn't know they're from Cali, let's be real, you would think they're from New York and West Coast. I don't mean to be ignorant when I say this, but when I first heard Cypress Hill, I thought they were from New York on the strength of all their videos were in New York City. Maybe that was ignorant of me at the time, but that's how I felt, Watts. And I love Cypress Hill. I didn't care where they're from now, but I'm saying at the time, when I first heard them, I thought they were from New York, from the Bronx, to be specific. Would you feel
no
like
doubt.
Alcoholics, Cypress Hill, what's the other brothers, the Hieroglyphics, right?
Yeah.
What's Ice Cube? That's Ice Cube's Delafunky Homo Sapien. Isn't that Ice Cube's cousin or some shit like that?
Yeah, that's his cousin.
I like J-Rule, but I don't like him more than Tash, though. You're a J-Rule guy. And you had the nerve to question me if I knew who Tash was because for your head, you're making it sound like this dude, Tash, I mean, J-Rule, was way better than Tash. Like, I don't know how you, like, surprised that I like Tash more than J-Rule.
I was just surprised, that's all.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. All right, man. Let's go ahead, Watts. Appreciation time, man. Going to Staten Island, man. Staten Island, man. This brother right now, we spoke about him a second ago, doing a feature with Conway the Machine. We also, he know that he's into battle rap heavy. He's one of the judges here in URL Battle League Ultimate Tournament 2 going on right now. He's also about to do a project with Havoc, which I am thrilled about, Hard Body. I wish this happened earlier, but I'm glad it's happening now. It is what it is. I say METHOD, man. You say what, my G?
I would say the best will come out tomorrow. Styles Get Busy,
Get
Bizarre,
busy.
Flows with more afro,
than Wallow.
Coming to a fork in the road, which way to go? Method Man is a living, iconic, all-time legend. And I think because Method Man does not portray himself, because he gives accessibility to himself, he doesn't act like, I'm Method Man, so I can't be near you, because you can actually reach out and touch Method Man, pause, because you can actually get Method Man to do interviews. You can get Method Man to do sit-downs. People tend to not look at him as a legendary, iconic person. You see how you can't get Drake or you can't get other top MCs
right
to appear, make a big deal? Because Method Man makes himself accessible, people fail to realize this is one of the all-time great individuals in black music and in black entertainment. Method Man is somebody I believe would dog walk T.I. in a 20 versus. Dog walk him. Dog walk him. Method Man is an all-time great. He has the all-time great verses. He has classic to me.
Wait. Stay right there. I think last week we did a show. We spoke about Meth and Joe, right? And I even brought it to the forefront. I was like, yo, Meth, in my opinion, Watts, in the 20 verses, he'll give a lot of people the business, bro. He would.
Man, listen, Method Man's verses in the 90s meant everything. They meant everything. You know, if he did his verse off of Trends of Culture, or he did his verses that he did with Onyx, or he did his verses that he did,
oh my God!
I mean, come on, man. With Sons of Man, even though, just I mean, Method Man. So let's just talk about Method Man. He's an underappreciated great MC who
has a body of work that might be the greatest body of work that's been commercially released in any MC. Like, when I say Method Man, do you realize how many albums the man has been on as
featured
rap?
Features, yeah.
Like, people, they only judge Method Man by his solo albums. So he didn't have this great career. Well, he had 6 solo albums, right?
Damn.
So remember, that's all his solo albums. Method Man also has 2 albums with Redman. He has an album coming out with Havoc this year. He had an album with Ghost and Ray called The Wu Massacre in 2010, which I bought and banged out hardcore crazy. And then he got 8 albums with the Wu-Tang Clan. This man got like 19 albums. That's nothing to do with guest appearances on other people's albums. So to me, Method Man has literally never left the hip-hop culture. And I think he's just one of the all-time great MCs.
Let me ask you this. When the RZA, right, when he decided to holler at 9 of these individuals and try to, you know, form a conglomerate, which is the Wu-Tang Clan, right? Do you think the RZA and even some of the Wu members, right? And I'm talking about U God, Master Killer, you know, GZA and these guys. Did they know that Meth had to be the first one out the gate to come with a solo project as they do in 36 Chambers? As the success of 36 Chambers is upon us. Like, how did RZA and them know, okay, we're going to go on Meth first? Because he was the first guy to drop a solo project. And I always say that, man. That was, I thought he was the guinea pig of the Wu-Tang Clan, and I say that with utmost respect, Meth, when I say that, that the other members, Old Dirty, Ray, Jizz, all them, watch Meth, you know, go through what he had to go through with the Cal, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, connotation, just in the sense that he's the first solo guy to drop. How much pressure was that on Meth, you feel, for the Cal to be one of those albums?
First of all, the Cal was a commercial success. For anybody who wants to know, Takao was a way, way bigger success than Illmatic in 1994. Method Man was a bigger star than Nas in 1994.
That's
the reality.
That's a fact.
That's what happened in 1994.
That's a fact.
So just, you can't rewrite. Method Man was the biggest star. Now, as Wu-Tang Clan was this group that was gaining notoriety, in every group, there's always somebody that stands out in every group. Every group has that. Method Man was the one that had the star power. He had the quote-unquote sex appeal. He was the one people
streets.
Liked. He had this style. He had this ill flow. The girls loved him. He kept his street. So just by that happening, he was clearly, they were going to push him to the forefront because he was the biggest star. That's just a fact. Method Man was the biggest star in Wu-Tang Clan. That's a fact. And here's another thing y'all don't want to accept. He was the most commercially successful artist of all the Wu-Tang Clan guys with solo albums. His albums actually spoke the best. While they may not be the best albums, which they're not, they were definitely the ones that sold the most. So people really don't understand Method Man's stature in the 90s. Method Man was one of the top. Method Man was on the starting five of what was the top rappers of the 90s. Method Man was right there with
I agree. Let me piggyback on what you said, Watts. Let me piggyback on what you're saying. I agree everything you're saying. I got Meth at the table at the time with Nas, over Nas. I would have him there with Black Moon and Biggie. And let's be real. One thing Meth could always hang his head on, boy, I was the only guest appearance on Ready to Die. And for the most part, a lot of people felt Meth had a better verse than Big. We could dispute that all day. I don't even want to go on that tomato, tomato.
But
fine.
Even if he did. But the thing is, that means everything because that goes to show you how popular Method Man was. Like, I'm telling you, Method Man was more popular than Nas in 1994. Method Man's album bodybagged Nas's Illmatic in
That's
terms of sales. That's not me saying Takao was a better album than Illmatic. I'm saying the reality was Method Man was the superstar.
Hey, hold on. I think people have to separate the two, right? By saying, okay, well, Watts is saying in the sense of, okay, it body bagged, and I totally agree with that word, body bagged in terms of sales. Takao body bagged Illmatic. Now, we can have a discussion, Illmatic, Takao, whatever. But I do agree with everything you're saying, Watts. I feel that Meth, in some ways, was very underappreciated, and sometimes I wonder if Meth cares about that. I don't think he cares about that. I think his demeanor didn't care about that. And the story that the RZA tells all the time is that even though Meth had the girls on him, my dude, he really did not want to do All I Need Is You. He really did not want to do that song. He had to be forced to do that song. And I'm going to say this also. I always talk about top performers in hip-hop history. Method is one of the illest performers I've ever seen live. Just one of the illest niggas I've ever seen live perform, man. I have Meth in high regard. Some people try to put him in a Jadakiss bag of not having classic albums. But to me, it's bigger than that, Watts. It's bigger than that with Method Man and me.
I agree. And let's just talk about the two albums he dropped solo-ly, quote-unquote solo. They meant everything to me, man. Like, they may not be perceived, if you go back, as these classic hip-hop albums. Like, it's not only Cuban Links, it's not quote-unquote Liquid Swords. But, man, you can't tell me when Tekal Link come out, we wasn't playing that album, like, nonstop and loving it.
My nigga, you understand when we heard Bring the Pain, it was a rap. Like, Bring the Pain is one of the best hip hop songs in 1994. Am I lying? MVP caliber song.
Not only that, Method Man's swag, or how do I say it for the young dudes, his bop, or how litty he was at that time, was on 100. The video for Bring the Pain, Meth with the thing in his eye, just the rawness, the street essence of it, the just out of this world RZA production that to this day I have no idea where you even came up with that beat. You know what I'm saying? But come on, man. And Meth was so popular that I listened to every song on the album, just liked it. Like, Gal, Bring the Pain, all that.
My man.
Yo, what the blood
it's
clot?
A four mic.
All I have is gunshots. Can I touch that? What the blood clot? Niggas want the Cal make it happen. You know my effing style, F the rapping. We can take it back to 85.
Back to 85.
You want to get live. Come on, man.
I sting you.
And I bring you. What?
Method Man.
Yo, what the blood clot? Yo, Meth, what the blood clot is one of my favorite songs with the Cal. I love that, and I love Sandman. I met First Chef. Love those joints. Biscuit.
Let me explain
PLO
something to you.
Style.
Let me tell you something.
PLO, come on. Listen, I love PLO style. I love Sub Crazy. Yo, think about this when this album. You got Bring the Pain, What the Blood Clot, Met First Chef, Sub Crazy. You got PLO style. And you got Mr. Sandman. Like, that's enough to make it.
Yo. Mr. Sandman is one of the most underrated collaboration joints.
What?
Tekal?
Yes.
I got Tekal 4 mics, 4.5. I got Mr. Sandman as a 5 mic song, though. For me. That's my 5 mic song with Tekal.
I got What the Blood Clot as a 5 mic song. I got PLO Style as a 5 mic song. Okay, like, this album was really, really. Like, I don't think people understood how popular Method Man was, man. We really, really rocked out to Method Man. So the point is, so then he does, now here's where it's going to get, where y'all really not going to like this. I thought his second album, Tekal 2000 Judgment Day, I thought it was even better than Tekal.
Stay here for a second. A lot of people might disagree with you. I won't per se. And maybe I'm being biased because once I heard that Street Life, one of my favorite guys in the Wu, Offspring Wu guys, I know we love talking about Capadonna, Killer Army, Sons of Man, Grave Diggers, and all these guys, but I really rocked with Street Life, man. And for Street Life to get mad burned on Tekal 2000, it was a goal for me.
So that was another great, great, great song. He built the relationship with Redman, and that became one of the most fruitful. First of all, I love that Redman and Method Man built a relationship, because you got to understand, Redman was my favorite MC, and then Wu was my favorite group. So
let's be real for a second. When we found out that Meth and Red linked up, I don't think nobody in hip hop was mad. Like, that we're happy. We thought that was actually dope that those two guys linked up. So the similarities were there.
I thought what Red and Method Man accomplished was what AZ and Nas could have accomplished together if Nas wasn't in so much demand for everything else.
Can I throw another group in there who I don't want to say success as Meth and Red, but I love the AZ and Nas talk you did. Dog, I thought Smooth the Hustler and Trigger the Gambler could have done what Redder Method, but it didn't work out for them.
You know, but they were brothers, so I thought they would be rapping together anyway. You know what I'm saying? I thought they would be rapping together. But back to Method Man. So the Method Man's relationship with Redman produced some of the greatest hip-hop of the 90s. You know, the lead single to the show soundtrack, How High. The classic album to end off the 90s.
My nigga, hold on. You cannot gloss over How High. That song was goddamn monumental to hip-hop, my dude.
Platinum song.
Believe me, when I touch the sky.
What? This is what I want to tell. This is what I want to explain to people. Method Man, to me, he was a bigger superstar than Nas was in the 90s. Like, that's what I'm trying to explain, y'all. Method Man was a superstar. He wasn't a regular rapper. He made it past the underground. He actually had the commercial success. He was on, like, Method Man was literally with Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. Method Man was right there. DMX, Method Man right there.
I agree.
Like, he's right there.
I agree.
And everybody respects him being there. Like, no one's looking at him like, you can't be here. Why are you here? No. What's good, Meth?
No.
We happy to be here.
Word.
Because here's the thing I don't know. Method Man was a platinum success before Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. That's a fact.
Yep. That's
he's
a fact.
Platinum selling before them. So people, you know, I know... It's sales talking. Y'all don't want to hear sales talk, but
my man, let's be real. Let's be real.
I know Big was talking that King of New York shit, but yo, we could have. Meth was one of them King of New York niggas, man. Let's be real.
Yes, he was.
Let's be real.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. There is no question. If Method Man wanted to be on some, I'm the King of New York. I want to talk that kind of talk. He had the resume to talk that kind of talk.
Let's say he said, if he went in that bag, Watts, and was like, yo, I'm one of the King of New Yorks. We would have not disputed.
We would not got mad
no,
about it. We would have respected it.
Just think of the iconic. Okay, so now let's talk about an aspect of Method Man that's not talked about. Method Man on the hook. Forget the verses now. Just Method Man on the hook. Let's talk about some iconic hooks. One of the arguably
yo,
greatest
50,
Wu-Tang 50, from all time.
I know you get mad
great.
Love. I know 50 Cent get mad love for hooks, man, but Method Man, good Lord, man.
Before 50, let's keep it a stack, it was Meth. Before Drake, it was Meth. It just was.
Listen,
y'all do know Method Man doesn't rap on Cream. He just does the hook, right? The hook is an all-time classic. Raekwon's most commercially popular song was Ice Cream. Who's on the hook? Method Man. Like, Method Man has so many moments that are so great in the 90s that when me and 3 did our 90s list, I had Wu-Tang on there as a group in the top five, and then I had Method Man as a solo rapper as number six. That's
yep.
How highly
and I'm
I
not mad at that.
Method Man in the decade of the 90s. He was that important, that monumental.
Yes.
And Method Man was so popular. This is how popular Method Man was. The man became a movie star and a TV star. Literally.
Household name.
If you do a Google search, Method Man filmography, Method Man TV shows, it's going to blow your mind. And you're going to see a lot of it in the 2000s because he was so influential, so impactful in the 90s as a rapper and MC
right.
That everybody wanted to work with him. Everybody.
And you know what's ill? You know what's ill about Meth also? Hold on. You know what's ill about Meth? In the land of flossy talk, in the world of jewelry, in the world of shoot 'em up, bang, bang, in the world of niggas not being themselves, right? Meth. And to in a way, it kind of hurt him, Watts, because he didn't care about that too much. And when I say hurt him, in the sense of I felt Nas, Jay-Z cared about that shit, right? Big cared about that shit. Nas, to a degree, cared about that. I don't think Method Man cared about stardom, Watts. I don't think he cared about that, bro. I don't think he cared about being number one. I really don't. I think it came natural to him. And I think from watching from afar, Meth didn't care about being number one. To his peers, to Biggie, to Buckshot Shorty, to Tretch. They knew Memphis, that nigga, Watts, Fat Joe. Them niggas knew. See, Pete Rock and Seal, them niggas knew Onyx. Them niggas knew that Meth was that dude. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say it again, man, for a dude to be the first dude to be like, okay, we're done with 36 Chambers. Who's going to be the first guy up to bat? It's going to be Method Man. And it was a no-brainer for that. And let me say this also, man. Meth spent a lot of five-mic verses on Wu-Tang Forever. His verse on Projects is fucking crazy to me. I love Meth, man. Listen, man. He ran a sum of 94 to me. He ran 94 to me. If I had to give a nigga MVP, you niggas might say Big Watts. I ain't mad at that. But Meth ain't far behind. He's just not far behind. 1A, 1B.
I'm going to say this. Meth was in contention for running a summer every year in the 90s once Wu-Tang came out. Because he always had something. He was on Ray album. Like, let's be for real. Method Man's scene-stealing verse, two verses on Liquid Sword Shadow Boxing. Those are five mic verses.
That's a
five mic verses.
That's a fact.
There was a group. There was a group called Trends of Culture. Meth did a song with them. And that song, it was Meth's verse that song and got in regular rotation. Meth got a remix with Onyx on the All We Got Is
Yo,
Up album.
Can you stay right there? Can you stay right there for a second? I got to say this. I love Meth's verse on that, B. I love Meth's verse.
Mike verse.
Now, yo, let's keep it real. We talk about features. Hold on, watch. We talk about features, man. Yo, Meth ain't never get watched on a feature, my nigga, if you think about it.
You can make a case that Method Man is the feature god. It's the feature god.
Yeah,
dog.
Hold on. Can we go here? He's first team all feature guy?
First team. And here's the thing, and you don't know where the feature's gonna come from, how ill it is. Okay, remember when Guns N' Man came out there? Meth gave them a verse. Man, it's one of Meth's illest verses ever. Like Meth
Limp Bizkit versus
rap everybody. Yeah, man. So to me, with these verses that we're talking about, Method Man, I think, off of his 90s albums, off of the Wu albums, and off of his features, he would dog walk Clifford. You say you want to battle somebody. I'm just telling you how that would go. My man T.I. could not survive Method Man's verses from the 90s. He could not survive it. Urban Legend versus and I'm just could not survive Method Man's 90s verses.
Hold on. Are you trying to stir up a Method Man T.I. versus? Is that what we doing on BSA? Are we trying to get that battle on and popping? Meth versus T.I.?
It's not going to happen, but I'm telling you right now, Method Man's body of work in the 90s alone, 20 of them things, man, will be so difficult to beat. They will be so difficult.
Hey, Hov. You my favorite rapper, man. But I wouldn't have you clearly beating no Method Man, my G. Quiet as kept, Hov. I got to keep it real. Nas, you too,
Nas.
I would keep it real. Both y'all niggas. Y'all niggas are not getting Nas Meth out the paint like that in the 90s. I won't. Nas might have a more fighting chance than Hov, I think. But Meth ain't no slouch, man. That's why I want Meth versus Redman in the verses. Because they'd be friendly. I just want it to be on something like that. Would be like, you know.
But to me, that makes no sense. Because that's like saying you want to see Jada and Styles do one. Or you want to see Ray and Ghost do one. Like that. Just cause it,
hold on. Watch. All those matches you said, my G would be fire, though. I'm not even mad at you. You said Red and Meth, Raekwon and Ghost, and Styles and Jada. That would be crack. What? I would watch Ray and Ghost, my nigga. I would watch a Ray and Ghost and smile at every song these niggas do.
Every
that would
song.
Be interesting, though.
Every verse. Every song and every verse.
And let me say something. Meth didn't get a lot of props for Breakups to Makeup joint with D'Angelo. I thought it was actually a dope song on Cal 200, man. He went in his girl bag in that joint. That joint didn't really get much. I mean, he didn't get the All I Need type of love or All I Got Is You type of love with Ghost and Mary.
About it. I felt it was looking for that because D'Angelo was hot at the time, and I felt it was
right.
Let's try to get
let's try to recreate that magic. And to me, when you go into that bag, that means you're trying to find a formula, and you didn't have to do that. So to me, he shot a video for it. He was a single, but that's not one of my go-to. Like, if I'm doing a Method Man 20 verses,
no.
I'm not going through that verse.
No, no, not going there at all, at all. Would you, when some people say he was the glue of the Wu-Tang Clan in the early stages of the Wu, would you agree with that, or that's a reach?
100% agree. And let me tell you what makes Method Man, to me, arguably the most important member of the Wu-Tang Clan, because he was the biggest star, and he never played the ego shit. He never. I mean, RZA tells the greatest story. I'm fighting with Raekwon and Ghost about how much money they're going to get just to come do Wu albums. And the guy who's more popular than them, the bigger star than them, he's always here. Do you understand how frustrating that is? Like, he was telling that story.
That
he's like, you know how frustrating
that
is? That Mess is the biggest star, and he's always here in the studio ready?
Yeah, let that
what
breathe.
Happened?
Let that breathe. I think you got to let that breathe, because when you let that, you think about that, the biggest star at the time is Meth over Ray and Ghost, right? And to fight to get Ray and Ghost in the lab, and Meth is beating you out to the lab? That's
always,
wild, my
like,
G.
Always. Wait a minute. Beating him to the lab and not beefing about money.
Let me ask you
like
a question.
Like RZA said,
you
know, we did the first two Wu-Tang albums, and everybody shows up. But once everybody got that solo success,
yes,
then now
yes,
I got to negotiate
yes.
with everybody's manager. I got to negotiate with everybody, except Meth. Meth is there. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to say, to me, Meth was loyal to the Wu. I think Meth is so loyal to the Wu. Like, come on, man. Like, and to me, because
hey,
he gives.
I don't want
to
go there.
So
I don't want to go here, but I'm going to go here, though. Do Meth really need the Wu?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm just throwing a question
yes.
out there.
Yes. Yes, I
Cause
he could have been
a dirty nigga after the success of 36 Chambers, after the Cal, just depart from the Wu, and he would have still been successful. I don't know if that would have worked for everybody else.
Okay.
Like having that W
symbol,
that's
a credit to how popular
you know?
He was and successful he was.
Yeah.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that I think because Method Man, you see Method Man on TV. You see Method Man on movies. You see him on HBO shows. You see him doing the drop the mic thing. And you see that basically if someone on any kind of platform tries to reach out to Meth, 9 times out of 10 they might get it, and he'll give them the time of day.
Very accessible.
And I believe that because he's so accessible, people try to diminish that he can act like, if he want to act like I'm Hov, act like I'm Drake, act like I'm Dr. Dre. If he want to act like he's
right.
one of them dudes, he could. But he's
right.
that's
but he
just
never
not
has.
Who he is personality-wise. And I respect so much because this is a dude who is, come on, man. He is
dog.
I gotta
keep it 100, man. Chicks used to go crazy over this dude. Pause. Like, dog, I seen girls literally cry in front of Meth. Like, I'm looking at them like dogs. Like,
Meth,
you know
like the girls, the women love Meth, and Meth kept it.
The women
Meth
love
kept
Meth.
It in hush.
Yeah,
Meth wasn't trying
to.
LL
thing
Meth wasn't trying to wear Versace.
Nah.
Meth wasn't wearing suit. Meth did not go Versace. He did not go suit.
Nope.
He did not go. Meth was raw, rugged,
Timberland,
grimy,
boots, hair out, toothbrush in the mouth,
women
bang.
Loved him. Women love
the Meth, man. I love the Meth, man.
And like,
I love the
Meth. When Method Man and when that Method Man had album comes out, I promise you, there are no two people who are gonna love this. When I say who are not gonna support this album, me and 3 want it. Mind you, we want an album 2020 from Method Man and Havoc. Like, we're excited about that.
I'm excited. I'm actually literally excited. Damn, Meth and Havoc. Like, I can't wait to hear that, man. I can't wait to hear Meth on some half beats. That's good. I can't wait to hear that, man. I wouldn't shock me. That album is fucking crazy. I wouldn't even shock me at all, man. For real, man. Do you think other members of the Wu were jealous of Meth? Even though we saw on the show, You God and Meth kind of going at it. I kind of gave it a little bit of illustration, I guess.
Absolutely. It's human. It's human nature, yes. It's human nature. It's human nature. All groups go through that, though. There's never been a group in history where there wasn't somebody jealous of the other person. That's just human nature. You know what I'm saying?
Styles.
That's not a
bad. So you think Styles and Sheik? You think Styles and Sheik were jealous of Jada?
The Locks never talked about internal infighting. But come on, if you have a brother or sister, you never had fights with your brother or sister before, or family members. Of course, the Locks have had internal fights. They just never went public.
Of course, you think Hav was jealous of P?
No, not at all. P wanted bigger things for himself. P wanted to be bigger than Mobb Deep. We know that. P wanted a solo career. That's what P wanted. He wanted to become the solo entity. But he didn't appreciate at the time that you created such a legacy with Mobb Deep, with Havoc, that you can never run away from it. You can't. You can't run away from what you did with Mobb
Deep. What do you mean Prodigy didn't appreciate that? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Because he didn't drop an album in solo.
Prodigy
to 2000.
You don't remember when Prodigy and Havoc were beefing? You don't remember that? When they were publicly
No. I mean, of course. He said in the book, of course.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Prodigy was really at a point in his career, he was like, I'm going in my solo bag. Me and Alchemist is going to do our solo stuff.
But he did that. But no, I guess I'm looking at this way, like, okay. At the time when he did HNIC, him and Hav weren't beefing at that time, right? Were they beefing?
No.
I don't think they were beefing at that time.
No,
that
wasn't.
That was a beef that I hated. Let me say this right quick. I hated the fact DeMar wasn't seeing eye to eye. I literally hated
beef,
that. I'm not going to lie.
The beef was Prodigy wanted his own solo career. That's all that was.
Yeah, P, I understand that, my
you
G, but,
beef.
You know, it's only over
was
you
beef.
Have.
It was Prodigy wanted the solo career. And it's like, you want a solo career, but you've established too much history.
The Mob, yeah.
And when people see, they want the Mob, man. That's what they want.
Yeah. Well, Method Man, I ain't going to lie to you, man. Now, Method Man, like in battle rap, are we shocked that he's into the culture as big as he is?
No, I'm not shocked that he's into battle rap. I've seen him at URL events. Just like Jadakiss has been at URL events, Graf, Kevin Durant. Like, come on, we like battles. You know what I'm saying? That's something people like. And someone like Method Man who comes from battling outside. So, no, I'm not surprised at all that he's into battle rap.
The judge now, Ultimate Man, is too. Like, he's a judge. Like, Method Man's actually a judge. That's, you know, that's bugged out. Man, I guess for him, man, that just shows him how down to earth, and I guess that's the word I would use for Method Man.
Method Man
a down to earth
is a
dude.
Living.
You know what I mean?
He's a living legend. He's an iconic person, but because he gives so much accessibility, people look at that as, well, you can't be that big. If I can reach out and touch you,
I wish Hov was like
with
that.
Superstars,
I'm not gonna
lie
to
never
you.
See them and never get them.
I wish Jay-Z was like that. My personality was just different.
This
man.
Is what
you know?
This is what makes you mystique. When you can never get an interview, you can never see you, and they make it such a big deal.
I guess. And you know, sidebar. I always say this, man. When the East Coast, West Coast issues going on, no one said Wu-Tang Clan's name. You never heard no one diss Method Man. In fact, Method Man was on Tupac's album, and All Eyes on Me with Redman. You know, they took out Dex first. Neither here nor there, man. But that's what it is, man.
So do you want me to tell you how I felt about that?
Okay, talk to me.
Wasn't happy.
Okay, you weren't happy. I like this talk. I like this. Let's go there. Why?
No, I'm
at the height of
I felt,
the,
I felt,
of the
I felt Method Man. I don't know what I felt, but I wasn't happy at the time because, like, I'm going to be honest. When it was East Coast, West Coast, by the way, which is not true, it was Pac versus Biggie and Pac versus New York MCs. They keep saying
mm-hmm.
East Coast, West Coast, New York MCs. But remember,
right.
I'm someone who loved Biggie and loved all the MCs Pac was going against. These were like my favorite MCs. They were, you know. So I
I was like, man, Pac really riding on Big, and, you know, Method Man and Red Man are just like, fuck Big, we all about Pac. You know, I'm just saying, this is my young mind. I'm in my 20s during this time, and I was just really hardcore New York. You know what I'm saying? You know, I remember when Snoop and the Dog Pound came to New York and shot the video, when Snoop was stepping on the building, and then, you know, the next year when All Eyes on Me comes out, Method Man and Redman are on a Pac song, and Pac made it very clear, I'm going to ride on New Yorkers, and I was just like, wow. So I'm just telling you, I was feeling some kind of way about that.
Gotcha. All right. That's what it is, man. M-E-T-H-O, man. Appreciation, man. Watch, take us home, my G.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of street life. On Dangerous Minds, on Dangerous Grounds, Method Man lead single from Takal, 2000 Judgment Day. PSA Hip Hop, the home of street life. By the way, Method Man dropped an album called Method Man Presents, and it was Street Life. And did I buy that album with the quickness? Yes, I did. Does anybody talk to Method Man and say, yo, Method Man, you know that album put out with Street Life? Yeah, I got that. These were my favorite songs. And break it down. Is anybody going to do talk to Method Man? Do y'all even know he dropped an album called Method Man Presents Street Life? Yeah.
Let me say this, man. Yo, Street Life's verse on Hell's Wind Staff? Woo! On Wu-Tang Forever? Jesus. GZA, yo, Street Life and GZA, they both killed that shit, though, man. I was a real Street Life fan, man. My homeboy was a big Killer Sin fan, but I was a big Street Life guy. Big Street Life. I know Street Life, given opportunity, he could have done what Donna did. Like how me and you loved Donna's Pillage album. I think Street Life could have gave us a Pillage. I think he had a Pillage in him that would have went under the radar.
In your opinion, you felt Street Life had better verses than Master Killer's verse on Duel of the Iron Mike and the Glaciers of Ice?
See, I gotta give Master Killer's flowers, though. Those are legendary five mic verses from Master Killer. Let's be clear on that.
You know, I've been listening to Wu-Tang songs and listening to the Master Killer verses, and I was like, hold up. I know 3 likes Street Life the most. I got to ask him, do he think Street Life got better verses than me too?
Nah, I can't say that, though. You know, it's funny. It's funny how it works, Watch. I don't think it does. But watch, it's funny how this works. And I don't know how can I say this to your question. I do agree that Street Life does not have 5 mic verses like that, right? Legendary verses, part of stuff, right? But I like Street Life more than Master Killer. But he doesn't have those kind of verses, though. Like those standout verses, like
have,
Master Killer
he
is on the road, still surviving on the verses.
All right.
Nah, I can't say he does, man. And I love Street Life, man. Duel of the Iron Mike, son, and Glaciers of Ice.
Yo, and not for nothing, he had the best solo joint on the W with the Junior Reed joint.
Yes,
I love Master Killer joint with Junior Reed. I love that joint. Joe, my man. I was listening because I've been in my Wu phase.
Right.
I like all Master Killer verses, man. Like, there wasn't no verse I didn't like. I like these verses.
Listen, not for nothing, he has some dope verses. He has solid verses on 36 Chambers also. He didn't have a lot, but when he touched the mic, he did what he did. This is why I always say,
the way, Master
niggas
Killer,
gotta keep it 100.
Master Killer, that's a, he's 100% from Eastern Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn.
That's
from Brooklyn. Could be from Brooklyn.
Dirty.
That's just put it out there. Just put it out there, man.
But I was a big Street Life guy. Like I love Street Life. What's that song that Street Life had with U God and Inspector Deck?
I know which one you're talking about.
That joint is crazy. Automatic.
The semi-automatic. Yo, Deck verse. Yo.
I put on the phone like talking about the planes. I ain't gonna lie, niggas like Deck, Meth, Street Life, man. That's one thing I love about hip hop, man. This dude out here that got 5 mic verses, but their career might not have popped off. Like Crumb Snatcher, for instance. I love, you know how many times I tell you I love Crumb Snatcher's verse on Gangstar's joint. I love that, his verse on there.
So let me give you
G Dep also at the mall.
I think Inspector has 8 of those kind of verses.
8. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. Let's be real, my nigga. He sits up, Protect Your Neck and Triumph. That's not coincidence, is it? He said,
is he on cream? Is he on cream?
And cream. Yeah, Dak. Above the Clouds verse. Oh, my God, dude. Yo, shout out to the original for playing Above the Clouds during his on set for me. I'm glad he actually went in that bag, though. I was shocked, but I'm glad he went into that bag. Yeah, Meth does have 20 verses, though. I'm not going to lie to you, though. But I do believe Streetlight could have dropped a pillage on us. Because I think the pillage is a low, is a low key for my album.
But he did drop a solo album. So what's the issue? He dropped a solo
album. Yeah, but I think it wasn't at the height of the Wu or the height of the RZA or Mathematics or True Master putting their 1-2 on there at the height of their game, basically. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. I respect that. As a sidebar. A lot of Darkman's first album meant everything to me.
Oh,
it meant everything to me. It meant everything to me.
Dog, really?
Dog,
yo,
when I say meant everything to me.
I don't think I like my nigga. I did not like a lot of Darkman over King Just. Let me just say this.
Dog, he got a song for Havoc. It's a 5-mic song. A 5-mic song with Havoc. Matter of fact, let me tell you how good the song is. A lot of Darkman has a song with Havoc that's as good as Parole Violators.
Let's slow down. We're not doing that.
Listen,
We're not doing that.
Listen to me. Havoc produced the song on a lot of Darkman's album.
Said Parole Violators.
And he put a verse on it. And it's, wait a minute.
My nigga, you said parole violators, my nigga.
Yes, I'm trying to tell you how ill this verse, this song is. Lucci.
You said parole violators.
The name of the song is Lucci. Yo, Havoc and a lot of Darkman have a song called Lucci. It is as good as Parole Violators.
That's
straight up.
My nigga.
Listen, I'm telling you. You got
to
hear it.
My nigga, you understand Parole Violators is a 5-mic song?
And that's what I'm trying to explain to you. Havoc has a 5-mic song, a lot of Darkman, called Lucci, produced by
Havoc.
Putting
at the table.
Havoc spits a
My nigga, you're
verse.
Putting at the table. My nigga, you're putting at the table with Parole Violators. At the table with Parole
and
Violators.
Dog, you think I'm making this up? I'm telling you, it's Havoc production. My nigga, did Havoc have a song on Foxy Brown album called The Promise?
And we loved it.
Did Havoc produce the song and put a verse?
That's a fact.
This is what he did the same thing with a lot of Darkman. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He did the
but
same thing.
My nigga, you put
it
at the table with Parole Violators, my nigga. You put it at the table with Parole Violators, though, son.
This thing is wild. When you go, when we finish the show, go to the song Lucci and just listen to it.
I am.
You're going to hear the Havoc beat immediately.
And a lot of Darkman.
I don't even have that nigga over Killer Priest.
What?
Yo,
no.
Stop saying over Killer Priest. Like Killer Priest ain't better than J. Cole. Like stop it. Like Killer Priest ain't better than J. Cole.
Wait a minute, sir. Are you saying Killer Priest?
Nothing like he ain't better than J. Electronica. You don't really do Killer Priest out there. Like, he ain't better than J. Electronica. Like, come on, man. Like, he don't got better verses than J. Electronica. Because he does. Like, he don't got
bite. You know what, though? I'm going to say this. It's funny you said J. Electronica's name, though. I think Killer Priest and J. Electronica are, like, the same. It's like the same person in me, in a sense. Like, I could actually see them working together. I could actually see a Killer Priest, J. Electronica project. I don't know why. I got visions like Ghostface, man. I see that, like, for real.
Sidebar. When we talked about our favorite albums, how come you didn't say the J. Electronica, Jay-Z album? How come you didn't mention that album?
You know what, though? I haven't played an album in a while, my dude. You know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to get to the album. I'm actually going to take my time to listen to it because I haven't listened to it in a while. I just want to see how it sounds now, being that it's been removed, 3-4 months now. I have not gone back to that project.
It's unlistenable
to me. I got to keep it a stack.
It's unlistenable to me.
But have you gone back to it, though?
I did go back to it.
I got to go back to it. I'm actually going to go back to it. Is it going to make honorable mention for you?
No, no. I gave it 2.5 mics.
Yeah, you was wild with that, though. I didn't agree with the 2 point. I didn't agree with that, though, Watts. I got to keep it a stizzy. I gave it 2.5. You gave it 2 point.
Good. We reviewed it. We reviewed it, man.
I know, but 2.5, though, son. Come on, B. That's what it is, man. Peace to hip-hop, man. It's your boy 3 and Watts. Y'all know the vibes already, man.